It's time to register to vote for the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Each congregation or multi-point parish must register their pastor and lay voters with the LCMS Office of Secretary by Sunday, March 24th of 2019. A nomination form has been mailed to every LCMS congregation. Learn more at issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident. issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident.
Just defrocking the Carrick doesn't end this story. They have got to find out how somebody who is known to be sexually corrupt continues to rise and rise and rise within the church.
What is different about that same child 5 minutes earlier, 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months earlier? Give us this main point and we can unravel your position.
Luther brought Christian freedom, and the whole point of the Reformation is freedom in Christ. And we start hearing that word freedom like Americans, and we assume that means now we don't have to be told what to do.
Forgiveness, however, does not mean having no memory of past wrongs. But we ask our Father in heaven to free us from the anger and resentment that may accompany those memories.
Housewives, cleaning bathrooms, love issues, etc.
Ordinarily, I think most people would consider an idea like mandatory reporting if there is a crime of which someone becomes aware, and that is usually applied to doctors, to therapists, to teachers, and to other professionals, including pastors and priests. If there's a crime that someone becomes aware of, they need to report it. It is incumbent upon them, mandatory for them, to report that to the proper authorities. There is a bill, however, in California that would require clergy, under the banner of mandatory reporting, to break the seal of the confessional. Now, what is that? And why is that, in this case, a very, very bad idea? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, March the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking about that California bill. It's called Bill 360 that would require clergy to break the seal of the confessional. Holly Shear will be our guest. We'll review the movie Glass with Pastor Ted Geese after that. We've got an hour-long interview answering the question on how DNA science undermines Darwinian evolution. Dr. Michael Behe, professor of biochemistry at Lehigh University and author of the book Darwin Devolves, will be our guest. Then, since it's Friday, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, a simple game we like to play with our listeners. We have our 4 sound bites. When the time comes, all you need to do is listen, and then after you've heard the 4 sound bites, give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and cast your vote for one of them to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Joining us to talk about a California bill requiring clergy to break the seal of the confessional, Holly Shear. She's a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of 4 children in Cheyenne, Wyoming, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, California Bill Would Force Pastors and Priests to Tell What They Heard in Confession. Holly, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on today.
You call California Bill 360 a well-intentioned evil. What do you mean?
I think the idea behind this, the idea that, you know, we can catch more child abuse, more abuse of vulnerable people, is the well-intentioned part, that we can find people who are hurting other people and bring them to justice is a good idea. I think the evil part is forcing clergy members to choose between their ordination vows, the promises they made to God, and breaking the law, violating the trust that other people have put in them. And I don't think that in any practical way that this will stop people from hurting other people if we try to compel priests to report them. When you talk to people about why they go to seminary, no one is doing that in hopes that they are going to become reporters or spies for the state. They're doing it because they feel a call from God, because they want to help people. This really is going to intrude on that and force them to make choices they should never have to make.
Mandatory reporting is usually considered a very good thing, especially when it comes to crimes involving children. Why isn't it a good thing in the case of private confession?
This is kind of a sidestep from mandatory reporting, right? Pastors are already subject to that with crimes they find out through other means. If you find out about a crime and it's not through confession, that's a totally different thing. But when we're talking about confession and absolution, private confession, we are not talking about just a casual, normal conversation or something a pastor sees. We are talking about somebody coming and confessing their sins to that pastor as if they are confessing them to God himself. And when that happens, it's not something that should ever go any further than that moment. And when we are asking for that clergy member to then take what was confessed to them and report it to the state, we're no longer talking about mandatory reporting. We are talking about really a break in the promises they made when they first started becoming a member of our clergy.
So why is private confession or the confessional different from pastor having a conversation or pastoral counseling?
I think that kind of gets into when we talk about that, first the vows they take in ordination. When I was looking into this, I pulled up the vows, and those are online. And one of the things they promise is that, will you forgive the sins of those who repent, and will you promise to never divulge the sins confessed to you? And I think every pastor takes the vows they make in their ordination very, very seriously. And when you promise before God that you will never divulge the sins that were confessed to you, it's a really serious thing. This is not just a conversation people are having with their pastor as if you were a friend or an advice giver. If you find out about wrongdoing in a context like that, it's a very different thing. This is someone coming to you in a purely religious context. And when we're talking lawmakers, it's possible they are not understanding the difference in that context. But you know from your experience with this, it's really not the same thing at all.
Why is the seal of the confessional considered to be unbreakable?
Well, I think we're really getting back to the idea that, you know, are you confessing just to a pastor, or are you confessing to God himself? It's not just a person you're confessing to at all. You are going before God and you are confessing something, and it never goes any further than that. And when we talk about trying to compel pastors to share things confessed to them in that context, I think it really almost damages the gospel, because you are taking people who are in their most desperate moments, very, very low, and you're telling people that they might not be safe doing this. And that's really awful. We don't want people to have any sort of fear that when they go to confession that things might go further than that. We want people to have every sort of confidence that the things they come to church to confess, that it's safe. That is a really important relationship. We want people to know that you can come get that solace, that full forgiveness in the gospel in church, and there's not going to be any danger of the words you say, of the sins you confess, going any further.
What can a pastor or a priest do in cases like this that would encourage someone who's confessed to a crime like this to come forward but wouldn't violate the pastor's sacred vow?
They can absolutely talk to the person and let them know that they should go and confess it themselves to the civil authorities, that they are willing, you know, if the person wants to go with them, to accompany them, to provide support for them, that they will be with them, that this person is not alone, that, you know, they will not do the reporting for them, but that they will not abandon them. They can let the person know that forgiveness does not always remove the temporal consequences of our sins. And if you are sorry for something you've done, sometimes one of the things we do is work out how can we take an action to stop hurting the other person. And especially in the type of sins we're talking about, we have a lot of legal redress that we can offer, that you can go to the civil authorities and you can say, you know, I wronged this person, this is what happened, and I'm really sorry.
You say that this bill is lessening the force of good from California's churches, not increasing it. What do you mean by that?
I think right now we have our churches as a safe haven for people with any sin they confess, that they know that they can go to their church and with no strings attached, You don't have to work off your salvation. You don't have to, there's no works attached to this. You just go and you say what you've done wrong and you are offered absolution. When we are telling people that, you know, when we open this door that certain sins are reportable, I think it's really dangerous because where does the line stop? If abuse against children becomes reportable, is abuse against elders reportable? Is murder reportable? What about stealing large amounts of money or any crime that we find very troublesome or icky? When we sit there and tell people that our churches are no longer a safe place to go and receive full forgiveness of your sins, we're really telling them that it's not a place for any forgiveness of your sins to be offered. Any time that you sit there and you lessen Christ's gift to us, you're really just eroding it away completely. And it is just so sad to think of people who need this the most having it taken away from them.
Why is this a fundamental issue of the free exercise of religion?
We really need to make sure that the state does not come into our church and tell us how we can and cannot practice. And I think the danger is there when the government is on our side and doing things that we agree with to kind of passively let it happen. And then when the government comes along and does something we do not agree with, to all of a sudden be in arms. And this is something we obviously do not agree with, or we should not agree with, and that we should see as very dangerous. It's interesting, in discussing this over the last 24 hours or so, I have come across some pastors, thankfully not Lutheran ones, who actually saw this as a good thing, that they want the ability to come to legal authorities and talk about this when they find out about it. And I think that's really sad that we have pastors who are maybe losing sight of where their ultimate responsibility is. And I think some of that is our line of where our ultimate responsibility and where our ultimate culpability is has been blurred a little bit. We need to remember that we are first and foremost God's. And second, we are part of this country. And so we need to very vigorously defend our right to exercise all of our religious freedom, even when it's not popular.
If laws like this pass, what should clergy and congregations be prepared to do?
Well, first, we need to keep practicing in faithful ways. Whether the law supports us or not, we need to absolutely remain faithful to God's word. And God's word is that when you confess something, it remains confessed only to Him in confession. It does not go any further. And so I think our churches need to be prepared to support their pastors. I think our districts need to be prepared to support our churches. And I think we need to be prepared for things to get a little bit ugly, unfortunately. I think pastors need to be prayed for, and I think we need to know that persecution is not always a bad thing, because it reminds us that God's word is what's most important, not pleasing the state.
Holly Shear is a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled "California Bill Would Force Pastors and Priests to Tell What They Heard in Confession." You can read it for yourself at the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Holly, thanks.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break on this Friday afternoon, we will review the movie Glass, the latest from M. Night Shyamalan. It's the last in a trilogy. Pastor Ted Geese will be our guest.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Brian Katchelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Over the next 5 years, Los Alamos National Laboratory is planning to hire thousands of new employees in the areas of science, engineering, security, administration, and construction. If you have both a technical and confessional mind, Los Alamos may be the place for you. I invite you to explore the possibilities on the websites for the Town, Laboratory, and Redeemer Lutheran Church.
The Classical Liberal Studies major at Concordia University Chicago challenges you, through rigorous coursework, to connect history and innovation, applying classical concepts to a contemporary setting. Adding a minor in classical pedagogy will equip you to teach in classical schools and homeschools, drawing on Concordia Chicago's rich Lutheran heritage in the liberal arts. Learn more and apply now at cuchicago.edu.